This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Hour number two, we are 59 minutes away from the unveiling of the 2020 ACC football schedule. We know all. We know everything. MJ Walker is going to join us in about a half an hour.
Yeah.
Sharpshooter from Florida State, playing great. Noles are on top, doing their thing. And now we're going to talk a little NC State women's hoops, because the pack is rocking on the hardwood.
Yeah, absolutely. Winners of three straight, 17 of 18. Westmore, of course, and Raleigh's done a phenomenal job again this year. Good enough to spend some time with us this morning. First of all, thanks for getting up early and joining us here.
No problem, guys. Anything for you guys.
You look thrilled to be here, Coach.
Yeah.
This is prime time, my man. This is prime time.
All right. Well, listen. All right. I want you to know I was in Ohio all day Monday, and I had to get up at 3:30 in the morning to catch a flight back for practice. So, you know, I slept in this morning. I appreciate you guys letting me do that.
I know one thing. Your club's playing good basketball. Again, you got off to a brilliant start last year. Same thing this year. What's the secret sauce in Raleigh right now?
Players. Got to have players. You know, I always say you don't win the Kentucky Derby with a mule. You better have a horse under you. So, again, they're doing a great job, and just really proud of the way they have shown up on a nightly basis, which is what you have to do in this league.
Is this about the defensive end of the floor for your team? Because, I mean, we can sit here and show highlights, and I can see Kanane scoring at the rack, Ace Koenig getting shots up, and Kayla Jones. I mean, I can see all that. But I look at your stats, and I see a really good defensive team, Coach.
Well, we've always felt like if, you know, defense and rebounding, you can do every night. You can count on. And shooting can be fickle at times, as we found out Sunday. Played a really good Wake Forest team, and they did a great job of taking some things away. But we just didn't shoot the ball well. Missed a lot of shots we'd normally make. And, you know, fortunately for us, able to hold them to 45 points, I believe it was, and just did a good job. You know, they're a great rebounding team as well, and we were able to win that battle. So if you do those things, that's how you have a streak, or that's how you, you know, have a run where you can go 17-1, for instance. So by doing those things every night.
Coach, you got off to a great start.
I know it's not real exciting, but, well, you know, winning is fun.
Well, speaking of winning, last year you got off to a brilliant start, too. What could you learn from last year's club that you incorporate with a quick start this year?
Well, you know, the funny thing is we just don't talk about it. We don't, you know, last year I guess we were 21-0, and this year maybe 14-0, whatever, at one point. But we just don't talk about it. I mean, it's one game. I know it's boring. It's one game at a time. You know, it really is. And so, and that's where you have to play, especially in this league where they just keep coming. You know, it's, we went to Hawaii this Thanksgiving and played over there. And, you know, I kind of remind the players kind of like those waves that kept coming at you. That's the way it is in this league. Every night, you don't have really a whole lot of time to enjoy the wins. You can't get too high, can't get too low. You just got to move on to the next one and keep rolling. So I think the biggest thing is just, you know, we have a routine and preparation leading up to each game, and you stick with that, and you prepare for every game pretty much the same. It doesn't matter who it is.
Coach Moore, we talk about scheduling a lot on this show in a variety of different ways. But in basketball, we oftentimes drift back to who you play twice and who you play once. Yeah. How big a deal is that, do you think?
Well, I mean, I like the way we have it kind of set up now, where it's real regional. You know, in the past, we've played Carolina twice, but Duke only once, and now we're going to have home and home with them every year. Virginia Tech, not too far away. So those are the teams that we play twice. It's unbalanced in some ways, but you just never know from year to year who's going to be strong. You know, the teams that normally are, but, you know, again, I think it goes back to, in this league, everyone is really, really good, and you know, you've got to play that schedule and, like I said, be consistent with your preparation and effort every night.
All right. Now, Sunday night, you're on ACC Network. It's a rematch with Carolina, second go around with them. But tomorrow night, you start a stretch of four of your next five on the road, your game at Pittsburgh. If you had to pick a section of the season that maybe kind of is the most critical, is this maybe that particular piece?
Yeah, I think you could go there. It's a tough stretch. Pitt, I've seen a lot of film on them, and Lance does a great job up there. They're going to be on the road. That's going to be a challenge for us. And then we come home, play Carolina, rivalry game. It's already a sellout. And I appreciate you guys mentioning Reynolds Coliseum. No doubt about it. If you haven't been there, it's a must-see. Beautiful facility now with the renovations and the Hall of Fame that's in the four-year area when you come in is it'll really take you back in ACC history, so, and NC State history, of course. So, but yeah, then you're right. Then we go three straight on the road, which is always a tough thing to do in this league. So we got a whole lot of work ahead of us. I heard you guys talking about the men's schedule's not halfway finished. Neither is ours. Mm-hmm. We're playing an 18 game schedule this year. So it's still a long way to go, with a lot of potential, hazards on the way.
You know, I'm a little disappointed you haven't invited us to Reynolds yet, Coach. We're just sitting there talking about, Book Horgan's busy. He hasn't had time to get us there, but surely. Yeah. We would have gotten a phone call or some kind of invite from you to get over there and check out Reynolds.
Y'all didn't get it's in the mail.
I'm
sorry. I thought. You know, it's kind of hard to find. It's kind of hard to find that basement address, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But again, it is. It's, have you guys seen it yet?
I have not.
I told Pac this, Wes. I walked in there, I guess, 2-3 years ago. Right after they had finished it in the summer, and I was back home in the area seeing my folks, and I got in there for about 5 minutes, and I didn't get a chance to walk through the building, but I knew what the old building looked like. So when I walked in the foyer, I just couldn't believe it. And now talking to people who tell me about the center hung scoreboard and all the other things you guys have put in place there, I can't imagine that you could be, more thrilled with the way that project turned out.
I don't know how you sit down and design something like that. It is unbelievable. And what a home court advantage. Reynolds has always been a home court advantage because of our rabid fans, but I think even more so now, and you're right on top of the action. Mm-hmm. Last year, we sold out three of our last four games. And as I've mentioned, this Sunday's game is already a sellout. So hopefully we can continue that trend. When I got to NC State and when I heard we were going to do this renovation, I said, okay, my goal is for us to have scalpers. And last year I walked in a post-game press conference and I said, yeah, I heard there was tickets on StubHub. And I said, I think for like $90 a piece. And one of the media members said, Coach, I saw some for $240 a piece on StubHub. So, it makes it fun when it's a hot ticket, a hot item, and you got people, clamoring to try to get in the building. So, fun atmosphere for our players and a great environment.
Well, if it costs $2 to get in there and watch your team play, it may be time to renegotiate the contract with Boo Corbin.
Hey. I don't mind being the best bargain in the league. You know, I don't mind. I can live with that.
Well, if you're comfortable with it, then Boo's going to be really comfortable with it. Just tell that right now. By the way, your staff, we have a good time with your baseball coach, your football coach. Boo's one of our all-time favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Your working environment, and you talk about Reynolds in terms of the game, but your working environment as a coach. I mean, I can't imagine being a better cast of characters and people you're rubbing elbows with on a daily basis.
Yeah, first of all, I'm a big baseball fan, all sports really. Growing up in Texas, football, baseball are big. Elliot, I love watching his teams play. They're always fundamental and prepared and he's a great guy, fun to be around. And then Coach Dorn and Coach Keats, I spend time with them on the caravan every summer. And we have a great time and obviously talk during the year and all try to encourage each other a little bit. Cause there's, like I said, it's always tough in this league. So, but you're right. It's, they're awesome people. The whole athletic department, when you see what wrestling does, what swimming does, what cross country, I mean, all the sports are thriving right now. The soccer teams, It's fun to come to work, and you may not see them every day, but when you have an opportunity to be around them, as good of coaches as they are, they're even better people. So fun place to be, no doubt. Well,
I know you got to coach your teams, but you also are in a situation where coaches got to work together, don't they? I mean, the communication and the community of coaching. We've talked to several schools. I mean, the folks at Virginia, we've talked to other schools in the league doing the show here, where I get the sense that the commitment of the coaches and the conversation among the coaches is also pretty important to a program success, a school success, if you will.
Yeah, I think it is. And we're all involved in our brand and marketing our programs and our university. And, like I said, too, I think your head coaches, assistant coaches, you all get it. You know, you've all been through this stuff. And you know what each person's going through and what a grind it is sometimes during the season. So, it's kind of a good family atmosphere to be involved in, no doubt.
Hey, by the way, before we let you go, you got the best player in the country, don't you?
I got the best players, and people. I look, y'all, I'm just telling you, I grew up, like I said, in Texas. My mom raised me and my two sisters by herself. We didn't have a ton, and now I look at where my life is going, and to be at some place like North Carolina State and work with these unbelievable young ladies every day. I'm hard on them. I push them. But, I love being around them. I'm proud of them off the court, on the court. And so, yeah, I'm excited about this team. But we still got to keep getting better. If we're the same team in March that we are right now, it's not going to be the kind of ending we want. So we got to keep working and keep getting better. But you're right. We got some great, great talent out there.
Well, I want to tell you, Alyssa Kinane is averaging 17 points, 10 rebounds, and hitting 61% from the floor, Pack. That's pretty good. Yeah.
We want to run through her. We want offense got to go through her, inside out.
Yep.
Wes, before I let you run, I learned three things in this interview. I wrote them all down. Number one, you've got a terrific team. Number one, a terrific team. Number two, you cannot win the Kentucky Derby with a mule. I learned that. And number three, you are the best bargain in the business, and Boo Corgan loves you for it. Those are the three things we got accomplished in this interview.
I don't know about that. But anyway, it's like I said, it's a great place to work, and being in the ACC and getting on the air with you guys. I mean, this is probably the highlight of my career right here.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah. Okay.
You'll never be invited back.
Yeah,
that's it.
If this is the highlight, then we're done. Hey, good luck tomorrow night at Pittsburgh.
Hey, then it worked.
Thanks.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
You too. Thanks. Wes Moore. Oh, man. We ever have a bad time there, we're in real trouble.
He is good people.
Yep.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right. Over and under. Is that what we're doing?
Boys are in control.
All right. Tag, they're it. Let's do it.
All right. Josh Macri, Drew Brooks.
All right, fellas. You ready to roll?
Yep.
By the way, back row's looking good today.
Yeah, who's on the back row today?
Today, we have Hank, of course, Lewis.
Yeah,
and
Lewis.
Samantha.
That's right.
Wait a minute. That's a newbie, right? Samantha, this is a debut for Samantha?
I believe it's the first since you've started caring about the back row. And then we have LJ in the back bunker, and we have Ezzy in the radio bunker.
Since I started caring. I've cared.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't used to ask about the back row.
Well, I'm the only one. Whoa. I'm the only one that's asked about the back row.
I'm not saying you haven't asked about the back row, but there was a period of time when our show first started that you didn't really give two hoots about the back row.
That is such an inaccurate depiction of the truth.
Well, we're off to a good start.
The over and under of nonsense coming from Bristol right now would be over, whatever the number is. Over.
Over under how many shows Samantha's been on? Three.
Ooh.
Under. To my knowledge, I write the names down every day. I don't ever remember writing down Samantha, ever.
What about David, who's
handling cameras? It's at least five, by the way.
By the way, David's on cameras. David's not getting a shout out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to bring all of us together. Otto, Normally it's Robert. Ryan's flown down from Bristol to hang out with us.
I think he's checking in to make sure we don't release the schedule early, actually.
We're not releasing the schedule.
I think he was down here to make sure. I think we needed somebody from the administrative and management arm of this who came down, who knows our games here, to check on things.
Okay. Whatever.
I think he brought a drone. So there you go.
Ryan's all over it.
Ryan is part of the people want to know how all this came together. Ryan played a role in
this. No question about it.
Yep. He wired this sucker right on up.
He was part of the early survey crew that rolled in here when this was just SiriusXM packed nasty.
All right, guys, over or under how many questions we actually get to this block?
I haven't read any of yours to begin with.
Well, so I know you. It's not over under how many you've read. It's over under how many I actually get to ask before we have to break for MJ Walker.
We don't want to cut into your union, your requisite union time on screen this week. Right. So let's go ahead.
All right, guys. Speaking of MJ Walker, over under 3 for Florida State's highest AP ranking this season. They're at number 5 right now.
Pack.
I think they can get to 3.
Oh, I think they can get to 2.
All right, then you're going to go over.
Yeah, I'm going over.
I think 3 is doable for Florida State.
I think 2 is real world because there's nothing but volatility in front of them. I don't think they can get to 1 because I think the minute Baylor loses, Gonzaga goes back to 1 and Gonzaga will be 1 the rest of the way.
Well, there's some truth in that. And then, of course, there's San Diego State, who's still undefeated and will be favored in all of their games.
But behind Florida State.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the Noles can get to 3. Okay. I think that's a doable, possible deal for Leonard Hamilton's guys.
All right. There we go.
All right. That's the first one.
All right, over under 1.5, the number of ACC teams that will be number 1 seeds in the NCAA tournament.
Under. We said it together because I just don't think there's more than 1.
No.
I think there's 1. I think it could be either it's one of the 3, obviously. It's Duke, FSU, or Louisville. But there's only going to be 1.
Yep.
And it goes back to Dan Bonner's theory on this, Mark. Yep. I think it goes back to the fact that you don't have enough inventory in the non-conference. And right now the league is such a glob, your term,
yep,
that it's going to be hard to separate that in that committee room. Even though Dan pointed out yesterday with us, it's 1/32nd every time you play. It's still not going to be enough. I mean, Virginia Tech has Michigan State. NC State has Wisconsin. Where else? Florida State had a great win against Florida. I mean, you just don't have enough.
Last year we had 3 number 1 seeds from this league. 3 number 1 seeds.
Yeah.
I think 1 is, to be honest with you, best case scenario.
There you go.
Best case scenario is a 1.
All right.
All right. We know Cole Anthony came out and told everyone, hey, enough, I'm playing. But you guys say over under 1 more game in a Tar Heel uniform for Cole Anthony.
Over.
He's over. Yeah, he's going to play. He comes back, he plays. Plays. For sure. And I know why people, you know, I get the whole, discussion point about not playing. But he's playing. He's playing, no doubt.
You said earlier you'll believe it when you actually see him walking out of the tunnel into the layup line. Enough could of the tweeting.
Could be Saturday. Could be Monday. But it's going to happen. I don't think any of the stuff going out from him now is leading you up to him not playing. I just don't think he says anything if he's not playing. But he's playing, and I never thought he wouldn't play. I can understand where that discussion starts, but I just didn't think that was what you were going to do.
Yeah, I'm just ready to watch him
Even
play.
Kyrie Irving came back, right? Remember when Kyrie Irving came back and played the back end of the season? I mean, and he had missed basically 7/8 of the season and came back. So, yeah, I always thought he was going to play.
Yep.
All right.
How about this one? Over-under 250 carries for Travis Etienne next season.
Over.
Over. Really?
Yep.
Our friend Kelly Gramlich, who not only does a fantastic job with ACC women's basketball, but also host the, Out of Bounds show, is that right, on 105.5 The Roar in the Upstate PAC?
Never heard the show, but I think that's
correct. Yeah, she and William Quackenbush, Kelly and Quack. She put together numbers on Jonathan Taylor's 3 years, J.K. Dobbins' 3 years, and ETN's 3 years. Jonathan Taylor ended up with 926 carries in 3 years. J.K. Dobbins ended up with 725. I'll just say this. Travis Etienne could go 250 next year, and it doesn't take too much tread off the, quote, proverbial running back tire.
I'm going to go over 250.
Look at what he's done already, though. It's not even close.
I told you. Well, you know what? It's because he doesn't play in the third or the fourth quarters.
And you think he's going to next year? Don't give away the schedule.
I do, and I haven't mentioned any games yet involving the Clemson Tigers or anybody else. But I think this is a – I mentioned this yesterday. I think the Clemson coaching staff watched tape of that game from Monday night and said, you know what? We got away from number nine too early. For him to only run the ball 15 times, you know what? This guy can go. And you got an offensive line next year, which I know they lost a bunch of seniors, but they're going to be fine up front. I think he's going to get a ton of touches.
Wonder how many catches he's going to have next year.
Yeah, that'd be another thing you're going to see too.
My question is not as much. I'll go under 250 because I think he's going to catch the ball more. That's the only reason.
Yeah, it's carries, not touches.
I know.
Yeah.
But the carry number I don't think will reach 250. And I think in part it won't reach 250 because of the catch number. That's just
okay. Fair enough.
All right.
All right. Couple more here. Over under 1.5, the number of quarterbacks that start a game for Miami next season.
Over.
Under.
What? Yeah, that's the question. Over or under?
I'm under.
I'm over.
I know you are.
It's Miami. It's quarterbacks. Yeah, I know King's there. There'll be two.
Unless he's hurt, well, should be the caveat.
I mean, I'm just telling you, I think there will be at least a couple.
I'm going one. De'Eriq King, if he can breathe and play, will start every game for Miami. Bottom line. Now, you can say over based on injury. I will say without injury, he starts every game.
I'm going to just say over, period.
Okay. All right. I like caveats.
You love caveats.
It's one of my favorite words, caveat. All right, go ahead.
Last one. We have 32 minutes to go. You've behaved yourself so far on the air, Pac. But over under one, the number of people who tried to bribe you for an early look at the schedule.
Ooh.
Over.
Chester and Fuller don't count.
Is that like one per hour? Over. Way over.
Let's see how much you memorized. Clemson, week 12, who do they play?
I'm not saying that. You're dealing with a trained professional. We're just here for entertainment value. But when it comes to this kind of stuff, you're not getting any info from us.
This is a
question. Okay, what about Duke, week 3?
I know the answer to all of them.
This is about...
They're at home. Next. They're looking it up. They're going, you know what? Shoot, he's right. What else you got? Over and under, how many times are you going to ask me another question?
The over-under is one, and I'm taking the under because I'm out.
Good answer.
Oh, my god!
You wonder why I don't read these ahead of time. I know you send them. I refuse to read Barker, Bite, or over and under. Because I want it to be spontaneous. And first thing that pops in my head when they ask the question. So I don't want to have formulate an answer.
How many people did try to get scheduled from you?
What would you guess?
Five.
That would be low.
Really?
Really.
No kidding?
No kidding.
Cats really thought you were going to bleed it out, huh?
I didn't.
That's crazy.
But when we said it Monday that, hey, we got the schedule, people are, oh, my God. I know Pac. Let me send him a note. Hey, good hearing from you again. Hey, Pac, who does Virginia Tech play on? Dude, I'm not saying anything.
Oh, is
anyway.
It the wedding question? Those are my favorite.
No, people want to know. 9 o'clock is going to be crazy.
Wes, in 2022... In week 7 on October the 14th, my cousin's daughter's brother-in-law. I'm sorry, I don't know.
people don't plan
weddings in the fall.
No, that's number one.
That's it.
You never, never do the wedding in the fall.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We're 27 minutes from the schedule release, but right now, we're going to talk to somebody who is red hot on a red hot team.
Mr. Big Shot.
He is.
And
that.
I'm not talking like on campus. I'm talking like taking the shot.
Yeah. Give me the ball. Get out of the way. Let's go.
Right.
MJ Walker joins us from Tallahassee. MJ, first of all, congratulations on the great, great start. Your team is really playing good basketball.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
A lot of hard work goes into this in the off season. Going into the year, all the talk about Virginia is the defender, Duke is Duke, North Carolina, Louisville. Did you feel slighted that, you know what, people were sleeping on Florida State?
I kind of expected it, and it's kind of like every year, you know, we're not necessarily given the credit we deserved. And, you know, I understand that we lost a lot of players, a lot of seniors, you know what I'm saying, went to the pros. Things like that. So, you know, it's expected, but, you know, this summer we kind of took it personal with a chip on our shoulder. And, you know, we try to do our best with the guys that came in and just worked our butts off, man, all summer, trying to preach to them the new system, getting them intact with everybody, building relationships the best way we could. And, you know, we just try to worry about us, not necessarily worry about what the media was saying, and just continue to work, stay in the gym as much as we can and continue to learn.
The idea, too, for you personally is this has been a season where you kind of had to grind already, right? Because you weren't at 100% and you wanted to get back to obviously be at the top of your game. And now there's a little bit of that payoff for the hard work you did to get back, I think.
Yeah. This whole summer, I had to sit out tendonitis. So I sat out, you know, the majority of the summer. So just coming into the season, you know, I was, you know, putting in work, staying in the gym as much as I can, treatment wise, and even throughout the season, this season, just having, you know, hip bone issues and hyperextending my knee one game, just, you know, injuries after injuries, but just staying faithful, man, trusting God, and you know, it's all coming full circle. My guys are doing a great job of picking me up, and you know, we just staying strong, man. Everyone is accountable for each other, and we just continue to press forward.
All right, so for all the things that have happened to this particular basketball team, the win at Louisville, obviously very impressive. You get the win against Virginia last weekend in Tallahassee. Then Saturday at Coral Gables, I'm watching the ball game, and all of a sudden I see, oh, man, Florida State's down. So the mettle of this team got tested a little bit, and it gets right down to the end, and time's winding down, and all of a sudden they need a big shot, and you got the ball in your hands in the corner. Take me through what that was like for this team, and what was that like for you to say, okay, I've got to now take the stage and do what I've been coached to do?
I remember in the game, I was thinking about Xavier my freshman year. I remember when we played them in March Madness and how we were down the entirety of the game. And, you know, they found a way. I wasn't necessarily playing too much in that game, but just watching the seniors – the upperclassmen come through in that game, and they're determined to win, man. It really just, you know, it motivated me to, you know, when we get in games like that, to continue to press through. And, you know, that's what went through my head. It was times where they went on runs. You got to understand it's a game of runs. And we continue to press forward, man. Trent Forrest has been there. A lot of the guys have seen it. So, you know, being in that position, I knew it's never over till the clock say zero, man. We just kept pressing forward.
MJ, the last two games, you know, the Virginia game at home where you guys have been so good in your building, it didn't look good late, but you grinded, right? And the defensive side's always been solid at Florida State. You found a way to win. Wes just mentioned the Miami game over the weekend where, hey, it wasn't going well, but you found a way to do this time on the road. Isn't that not symbolic of where this team is right now that, hey, you know what? When we're lighting it up, we beat anybody. But when we're not good, you know what? We still find ways to win. Isn't that what has made a difference this year to make you guys the fifth best team in the country?
Definitely. I think that we're a team that regardless of what type of adversity hits us, we're not going to quit. We're going to find a way to win regardless. Coach always says we'll take an ugly win over a pretty loss. So, and I think that's for every team in the country. So, you know, anytime we get down or we recognize that we're playing good, we understand in the back of our head, we have to win this game, and we'll find a way. You know, we're not going to win every game, but we just need to have that mentality every single game and just not give up.
MJ, how much does the last 2 years help you guys as this now starts to unfold, we get to the midway point of conference season, things like that. I mean, you guys have had great runs each of the last 2 years. I mean, what kind of benefit is there for this team to, and in your case, been a part of those last two?
It's important, and the experiences that we've had, me and Trent Forrest, Devin Vassell, from being a freshman last year, Raekwon Gray, and a lot of the guys that we have aren't necessarily young, but they've been playing in college basketball. But just for the guys that's been here in the system, it's important, man. We've done our best and continuing to learn ourselves. We're preaching to these guys the urgency of this league and how each night is important. And we, like I said, all summer we've been working as hard as we can, preaching to the guys the urgency of, you know, how fast this has to be and how good we're trying to be in the next couple of months. So you know, it's been good, you know, for how long we've been doing this, but our guys are willing to learn, and we're just glad to be in the position we are and continue to get better.
All right, let's be honest though. It's you, Vassell, and Trent Forrest. Y'all are the big three, though. I mean, let's all the other guys are nice, but when the chips go in the middle of the table, one of you cats is getting a rock, right?
I mean, all of our guys, honestly. Listen, I'm serious though. All of our guys bring something to the table, and you know, sometimes it's they'll have off nights, and sometimes we'll have off nights, but. Each one of our guys, I feel like, you know what I'm saying, sometimes can be overlooked, but they bring something special to the table, you know what I'm saying? And if you just come to our pickup games in the summer, you'll see it. You'll be like, oh, my goodness, like, these guys can really go. And, you know, sometimes it takes time for certain people. But, you know, like I said, each one of our guys, you know, brings something, you know, special to the table, man. And it's crazy. We continue to trust each other. And, you know, we never let each other get down, man, because, you know, the potential for each other is crazy. So, we continue to keep our heads up and continue to keep working, man.
MJ, earlier today we were talking about the best home court advantages in the league. And you know, we know about Cameron Indoor. You won this year at the Yum Center, which is a tough place to play. It's Deanie Smith Center, enough said. But what about your home court? Because the numbers don't lie. As good as you guys have been, you are a tough out in Tallahassee. How would you rank your home court versus what you've got to play in this league?
Man. I think we had the best home court advantage in the country, man. I think that, and it's a mentality for us, but our fans, man, it's, well, once we get it going, man, they are faithful, man. They're there for us. They bring that energy every night, man. When we hear them, man, we take it to another level. You know what I'm saying? They definitely one of the best home court advantages in the country. And, you know, like I said, once we get those runs going in the game, man, it's hard to beat us. And it's a mentality for us. Honestly, we don't lose at home.
All right. Before we let you go, a couple things. You got Devin on the roster, who's an Atlanta guy. There are a lot of Atlanta guys in the league. I know we say Riverdale, Jonesboro, it's all Atlanta guys. I mean,
yes, sir.
How much does just playing pickup ball in the summer at home, the games that you find yourself in with guys that play all over the country, how much carryover is that to just getting better as a player?
It's a lot, man. Like it's iron sharp as iron. There's so many good guys from the city that, you know what I'm saying, in the league or you know, I played against throughout high school. AAU, like I said, pick up throughout the summer. And, it's amazing, man, the talent that comes out of Atlanta. Those guys, you know, work their butts off, man. And, you know what I'm saying? When we play in the summer, we all about getting better. So, you know what I'm saying? Tips up to those guys, you know, to continue to keep working and the talent, you know, come out of Atlanta. I pray it continues to go up, man. And, you know, like I said, it's a lot of talent coming out that area, man.
All right, before we let you run, we do this with every student athlete that appears on the show. MJ?
Yes, sir.
What is the hardest class you've had at Florida State?
I'll say my statistics class, man. I had it last summer, and it was like it's compressed in the summertime, so it's not necessarily you don't get the same amount of time you get either in the fall or in the spring. So the information you get is twice as much during the week than it is during the fall. So that was probably one of the hardest classes. I ended up passing it with the B, but, man, it took a lot of studying, you know what I'm saying, outside of class, rather than how in the fall, you know what I'm saying, you probably have a couple tutorings a week. But, man, it was a fast-paced class as far as how much work came at me at one time, and that was, yeah. I'm glad I got through it.
Well, here's the only stats you need to know. 16-2 overall, 6-1 and leading the league, my man. That's the only stat that matters right now.
Yeah, yes, sir. You still got a lot to go, man.
That's
still
it.
Got a lot to go.
Hey, wish you the best.
Stay well, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, MJ Walker. By the way, Notre Dame, Florida State is 8 o'clock Saturday night right here on ACC Network, and it is sold out. At the Tucker Center.
I'd like to say one thing before we go to break.
Yes, sir.
We've had the big three along with Coach Hamilton.
Yeah.
You can see why this is not – forget just this is a basketball team. It's a basketball program. We've
Absolutely.
Talked about this. The quality of the student-athlete that Leonard's thrown on us on these interviews,
yep.
out of sight. You can understand that, hey, not only are they gifted athletically, but they handle themselves right. They conduct themselves the right way, and you can understand why Florida State's having that kind of success.
All right.
You should be congratulated.
15 minutes away now from the ACC. Oh, we got a countdown clock. It's like New Year's Eve.
Could you set an alarm just in case I fall asleep in the next segment and miss out on the 9 a.m.?
No, you're not falling asleep. You know why? We got more to go. We get your phone
calls.
I know why,
American Express keeps sending me text messages. Some dude in Bangladesh loading up on my credit card.
Unfortunately, we're going to go to the football schedule so we can get away with somebody's $59 charge in Europe this morning.
That's just one of many.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Real quick, here's what we were going to go with. We got sidetracked with Bruce talking about Fike Fieldhouse. Bless him. Cole Anthony on Twitter last night, 10 o'clock. It's a new way of news dissemination, Pack. I hate to tell you, man, it's going to be more common than not.
So. Well, I'm just going to say this. And
yes,
I'm just going to get this off my chest, and I'll be done. You can go wherever you want with it.
Okay.
Here's what I want to hear from Cole Anthony. When he's coming through the tunnel, do a layup drill.
Well,
right.
He says, tired of seeing all this talk. My mind's made up. Can't wait to get back on the court with my brothers.
Yeah, I'm tired of seeing the talk, too. I'm just ready to see Cole Anthony play.
I'll
tell need you a Twitter account. I don't need an IG. I don't need a...
The IG.
Whatever.
Listen to you hitting the IG. Yeah,
I don't need
that's good, Pat.
Pigeon coming in here dropping off a note. I just want to see him play.
That's good. Well, I think you're going to get to see it. Sounds that way.
Well, I don't want to sound it. I want to see it.
Well, it sounds like you're going to get to see it.
I don't need any more tweets. Cole, let's go, buddy.
Sounds like you're going to get to see it.
If you're in the mood tonight, strap it on and go.
I'm not sure it's tonight.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
All right. So he's not going to play tonight. Miami Saturday, high noon. How about Monday night, NC State in Raleigh? That'd be about right, wouldn't it?
Well, that would be right because NC State fans would have a conspiracy theory that he did this on purpose just to come back and give us a headache. NC State fans, I had NC State fans yesterday even sending me notes. Emails
about
tweets.
Yeah.
Can you believe the officiating the Virginia game? I said, dude,
you won the game.
You guys won the game. What are y'all complaining about?
Right.
Enjoy the W. You're on a run.
Right.
Your team's playing great. You're getting healthy. Don't worry about conspiracy theories.
By the way, does Miami just hang around up there for a couple days rather than go back to Coral Gables?
Given the way they played last night, it might be good just to take a trip. Just to clear your head a little bit.
Go back to Coral Gables.
They were not very good. A
couple days of classes.
Let's
come
be
back.
We're going to be transparent on the show.
Yeah, they were not very good.
That thing was 24-6 and over last night. It was a Billy Packer over last night. And when Duke makes 9 3.5, that game is going to be over. If I was Miami, I'd go road trip somewhere. Just clear your head.
All right. So if Cole Anthony's ready to come back, let's take a straw poll. We'll get the boys involved in this morning.
Okay.
Are we saying Saturday at home against Miami? Monday night in Raleigh against NC State, or could it be next Saturday
in Chapel Hill, February 1st against Boston College. Pack, what say you? Hang on a second. Let's go to Josh Macri on the left, Drew Brooks on the right. Josh?
Those are my only options?
Those are your only options, because we're going to assume that if he tweets that out, it's got to be Saturday, Monday, or next Saturday.
No, here's the last option. None of the above.
Thanks for stepping on our fill in the blank later, or over under, rather.
Yeah, but I don't read those. I told you yesterday.
You've made that very clear, yeah.
What do you think? Saturday, Monday, or next Saturday? This Saturday, Miami.
If given one of those options, I'd say next Saturday, but I'm not
Saturday,
fully committed
Boston
to
College.
That.
All right, Drew? What say you, Drew? Sometimes you tend to prospect things.
Never. I actually think Boston College makes a lot of sense because they play at Florida State on the 3rd and then versus Duke on the 8th. And he's going to want a game back before they play those two juggernauts.
By the way, what's the line on those games, Drew?
I don't. Do they make lines for games 3 weeks away?
No, but you would know. No. That's what's disturbing. You know, the fact that we're getting all this Cole Anthony on social media tells me he is closer than you think. And, you know, the original announcement was 4 to 6 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure was.
And when the original information came out, we were going through the list thinking, well, it's probably the Pittsburgh, maybe the Georgia Tech, the Clemson game. Now, here we are a couple weeks after the fact. So I'm going to tell – my gut tells me – he would not be on any kind of social media unless he realized he was very close.
Saturday is 6 weeks.
Let's go.
Well, let's say just less than 6 weeks. He had the procedure done on Monday after they elected the Saturday prior to hold him out.
You know what? I'm gonna go glass half filled and say Saturday.
Miami? Okay. I'm gonna say Monday night in Raleigh.
You're doing that just to antagonize NC State fans, aren't you?
I'm just gonna, because it would be so State Carolina if it's Monday night.
But I would
By the
say
way,
this.
Cole Anthony and Markel Johnson, be a good show.
Well, you're assuming again that Cole Anthony's at 100% and can play. I mean, just because he's back, I mean, how much can he really play? It's one thing to say, hey, I'm back and eligible to play. What kind of basketball shape are you in?
I understand.
Here's the other thing I tell NC State fans who are sitting here worrying now listening to the last 10 minutes of the show. Hey, have faith in your team, man. Have some confidence that you guys have it going on.
What did I tell you yesterday? It's time to focus on your team.
If you want nice
things.
Don't
revel in somebody else's demise.
That's it. If you want nice things.
Focus on your team.
You go do what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
NC State today is a better team than North Carolina.
Right.
Today.
Right.
So go do what you do.
When we throw accounting up on the wall on Mondays, revel in your team. Live in your team. Don't worry about where everybody else is.
Now, the glob is right behind
That's
you.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And we got a long way to go.
Yeah, we're just getting there. We're just getting halfway point in the league.
Pack. We're not even halfway.
I know. Teams have played 8 conference games and 20s.
I mean, yeah. This is the old halfway point from like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We're not even to the what used to be the halfway point, let alone the new halfway. It's crazy.
I like it. You know, I know coaches don't. I know coaches don't.
Oh, I know they're upset. Yeah.
They, you know, this is just an overload of really good games you got to play. But you know what? As a fan, hey, I would much rather watch these games this week than you say, hey, listen, we got the Austin Tech coming rolling in here. We're going to beat them 98-49. Yeah, I get nothing out of that game.
We got 6 weeks left of, consequential basketball.
Every night.
6 real weeks of eight. Remember the old days where, you know, somebody would stick in a non-conference game against the University of Northeast Directional State? Nope. Not anymore. No more shoving that one in on February 12th at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
And on something from a fan's perspective, I think it's great.
Yep.
Now, again, we're not getting paid 7 figures to be coaches, and your livelihood's at stake if you don't win and lose. I get that.
Right.
But, you know, our job is to be, hey, we're sitting on the couch watching games. I would much rather watch Clemson and Wake Forest play and Duke play Miami as opposed to all four of those teams loading up on whatevers.
Yeah.
Right? Every night of the week, I'm in.
Real quick with the boys here.
What home court do you guys – I mean, okay, now granted, I know Drew boxed out Mark Richt in Cameron, so he's already been to Cameron.
He didn't box him out. He was afraid to box him out.
Well, yeah, he didn't touch him, actually.
It was a whiff.
Josh went to Syracuse, so he's been to the Dome. Okay, you guys got an ACC bucket list. What place do y'all want to go to see a game? Or you think is the real home court advantage?
And Fike Fieldhouse doesn't count.
That's a great question. Duke was at the top of my list, but we crossed that off. They beat Colorado State. Actually, Louisville is next on my list, and then Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. See, Castle is, I'm telling you, Castle's sneaky, Mark, on that list. You're skeptical about
Castle. No, I'm not. It is a good spot.
What about you, Macri?
I have not had the pleasure of taking in a game at Cameron, so that by far is number one on the list.
Okay.
Don't sleep on Peterson Event Center, though.
I've been there, too. That place is tough when it's full.
We also want to go to Carmichael. Next time there's a game at Carmichael, we might just fly down there.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mentioned it after Wofford rolled in there with a W. They've got to reschedule another game there. You have to. You can't. You cannot end the North Carolina men's basketball program's run in Carmichael with an L to Wofford.
All I'm saying is I think you have to have, if you do this, and we're getting ready to talk to a guy at the top of the hour who coaches in one of the great historical buildings in this league's history.
That's right.
I mean, you go to Raleigh, you can go to PNC, that's fine. But you need to see Reynolds Coliseum, Carmichael Auditorium / Arena. You need to go by and see Memorial Gym at the University of Virginia, because you got to understand what those places, Willen Gym at Chapel Hill, those places hold the fiber of what we now know as ACC basketball.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
100% right.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.